Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we're here tonight. Oh, my. Didn't know what to think when I was leaving out the door, but God brought us here. And thank the Lord we have a security in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful to know the Lord. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to surrender one's life to the Lord Jesus. You know, I remember years ago there was an individual that came to church, and I don't think he really was a believer in reality. But, you know, I know we sang that song that day, I Surrender All, and I remember him after the service was over just standing kind of in the back of the church and just kind of mumbling and saying, nobody surrenders everything to Jesus. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. And he was so upset. But praise the Lord, you know, we can give our lives to the Lord Jesus. It means that we turn everything over to him and let him have his way in our lives. It means that we give him our will, our emotions, our desires, and say, Lord, what would you have us to do? And just let him direct our paths. And praise the Lord, you know, it is possible to give our lives over to the Lord Jesus, to surrender our will and let him lead and guide and direct. And praise the Lord. So thankful that we could do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you haven't done that yet tonight, I pray that you try it. You turn that life over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, and let him take it. You know, sometimes we have plans that are not in the will of the Lord, and he knows how to change it. He knows how to change us. And that's what life is all about. It's turning our lives over to the Lord Jesus and letting him change us. Praise our God. Amen. For his will and for his purpose. Amen. That's what it's all about. So that we get ready to meet the King. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to have his will, have his way. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again. These opportunities that you've given us, Lord. Oh, God, we just never know from one moment to the next what could happen, Lord. But thank God we can put it into thy hands. And, oh, God, know that you know how to get us home. You know how to direct us, Lord. You know how to give us peace in the storms of life. Oh, God, you know how to take away fear. Oh, God, you know how to give us that perfect love, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You know how to deliver us from every bondage. Oh, Lord, everything that, oh, God, separates a person from thee, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that you work in our hearts tonight. I pray, oh, God, that you change us. I pray that you make us what we ought to be in you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you take your word and use it here tonight. Oh, God, we all need you, Lord. Oh, God, we're on this path of life. We know we could do nothing without you, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh, God, that you would have your way, Lord. I pray that you would move in every heart, in every situation, God. I pray, oh, God, that that perfect love that casteth out all fear would move in every heart, Lord Jesus. We're here, Lord, to give you our hearts, oh, God, to draw nigh to thee. Oh, God, to learn of thee. Oh, God, I pray that you would help us here. Have your way, Lord. Take this word and use it, Lord. Oh, God, give me the words. Give me the direction. Oh, Lord, I pray that you lead me by your Spirit. And I thank you, God, for such an opportunity. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for what you've done in our hearts, Lord. We know we could do nothing without you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh, God, that you would work in a mighty way. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, our God is good, amen. We love him here tonight, praise our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go into the book of Genesis here to begin here tonight. And we know that when God created this earth at the very beginning, it was perfect. It was, oh my, just as beautiful as anything could ever imagine and beyond. and there were no blemishes. There was no pollution at that point, you know? And oh my, it all worked in a perfect, wonderful way. No problems whatsoever. But we know what changed the course of events. And it was sin that entered into the world. And my, when sin came, everything changed. It brought into this world a curse. And to this day, there is a curse upon this earth, upon mankind, upon all that is here because of sin. And tonight we're going to be talking about that curse. The curse hath devoured, I'm going to call this message. But here, if we turn here to Genesis, the third chapter, we know that there in the garden that there was that day that the serpent came to Eve. And we know that he was more subtle, it tells us in that first verse of Genesis 3, than any of the beasts of the field. And it seems to me, from this reference, that he was talking, that he talked to Eve. And yes, he made her question what God had told them. They were told that they could eat of all the trees of the garden freely. But there was one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they were commanded not to partake of. And God had told them that in the day that they would eat of it, that they would die. Well, the serpent came, and of course it was the devil, despised as a serpent in this sense. And here he came, and he talked to Eve. And he said unto the woman here in verse 1, he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman replied in verse 2, and she said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And here came the father of lies to the woman, disguised as the serpent, and he said unto the woman in verse 4, ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And oh my, this was very enticing. This was very clever. You know, he didn't talk about the consequences of partaking of that tree. He didn't tell her of the bad things that would happen. But, oh, he made it sound so enticing. Oh, you know, so positive that their eyes would be opened and they would be as gods, knowing good and evil. And, of course, at that point, Adam and Eve didn't know what evil was. Everything was perfect. In that garden, everything was good. And so here it is, Eve being tempted. And it tells us in verse 6 here in Genesis 3, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And in verse 7, we begin to see the consequences of this action here. It tells us in verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then, oh my, there's something else that goes on. They had had fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. And he would walk with them in the cool of the evening. But here it is. Now there's a difference because something has happened. there are consequences to sin. And it tells us in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And oh my, see, now we have consequences that were never before felt or understood. Oh my, now there's a realization that they were naked, and they realized that they had to put some clothes on, so to speak, and so they did the best they could. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. And then when God came walking in the cool of the day, all at once, this fear came upon them. Oh, they had not known fear before. Everything was peaceful. Everything was in harmony. Everything was perfect. But now things have changed. Yes, because there are consequences to sin. And here it is, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And here's God calling unto them. Verse 9, it tells us, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard that voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Oh, there is no covering for sin. That's why we need to give it to the Lord Jesus. That's why Jesus came to this earth as the Son of God. God robed in flesh to come to save us from our sins, so his blood could cover our sins. But you see, when sins are not forgiven, there are consequences. Oh, there are all these emotions that are not positive. And here it comes out in this third chapter of Genesis, this realization. Oh, yes, first of all, they were naked. And then, oh, yes, this fear came upon them. Oh, yes, and they were afraid of God. Oh, yes. And God asked them in verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And it tells us in verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And of course, here comes the excuse game, and oh, you know, not wanting to take, you know, that upon oneself, they try to do the blame game. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And because of this action, there are going to be consequences. It tells us in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And so it was. The serpent obviously walked upright before this moment. You know, and oh my, it was a very intelligent creature, more subtle than all the other beasts of the field and so on. But now, yes, there are consequences to sin, and it was cursed, and cursed above every beast of the field. It was put upon its belly, and it was told that it would eat of the dust of the earth all the days of its existence. And so, my, that was something else. That was a great change. It's very consequential because of sin. But in the midst of this, God put a press, he gave a promise. Amen. And he says in verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. in the midst of this, God brought forth a promise. And of course, the devil was the one that was behind all of this. And God was telling him from that moment on, there was going to be a division between the woman and between the devil. Yes, there's between one seed, the godly seed that would belong to God, and the seed that, oh my, did not heed the words of life. And therefore, there was going to be a consequence. It was going to bruise the head of the serpent, of the devil. And it said, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Of course, this came to pass at Calvary, when the heel of Jesus Christ was broken. In that sense, it was bruised, not really broken, it was just bruised. And, you know, that's something that heals. That's something that's temporary. But the devil's head was bruised. And that was going to be a fatal blow, because there would be the time when the devil would no longer be there to hinder. He would no longer be the tempter. He would be put into the lake of fire and all forever be consumed. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. So in the midst of this moment, when all was going the other way, God brought forth a promise. And how very precious it was, because it was so beautiful to know at that moment that there would come a time when there would again be hope. Adam and Eve were cast into a hopeless situation when sin came into the world. And that sin would not only affect them, but would follow humanity from that moment on. And yes, there were other consequences that were brought out. Here in verse 16, we're told, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife, to the Lord God made coats of skin and clothed them. And of course, they were chased out of that beautiful garden. It tells us in verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Oh my, so how it was. Curses came upon the earth in so many different ways. And oh yes, the greatest curse being sin that had entered into the world. It would no longer be that perfect paradise that God had created from the beginning. But now there were great changes that came upon the world. because Eve at first took of that fruit which had been forbidden, and then gave it unto Adam, and he did likewise. And their eyes were opened, and sin entered into the world. And so it is. Consequences followed. A curse came upon mankind, upon the creation, upon the serpent. And life was never the same at that point from what it had been before that moment. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, we're so blessed to be on the other side because we know that we have hope. Oh yes, sin brings forth death. And I want to emphasize that point by going to James, the first chapter here. Praise the Lord. We look at James chapter 1. It tells us here, I'm going to, better turn another page here. I'm going to verse 12 here. Verse 12 tells us here, the first chapter of James. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Oh my, so here we have, it told us the end product of sin. Oh yes, when a man or a woman, of course, is tempted and drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. And that word enticed is interesting. We'll just look at that a minute. If you take the Latin for that word, it means to set a fire. And by definition, it means to attract by arousing hope or desires. It means to lure. And so that is what happened to Eve when she was in the garden there. And the serpent came and beguiled her, oh, by his own slyness. And yes, he looked at that which God had forbidden and, you know, enticed her by making her think that, yes, indeed, you know, there's a positive side to that. There's benefits to that. And, oh my, if I take it, you know, my eyes will be opened, which at that moment didn't sound too terrible to her. And, you know, the fact that they would be as gods, knowing good and evil, well, at that point she didn't know the consequences of that. So when she looked at it closely, see, she got up close. I have a feeling she stayed away from it before that point. She knew what God had said. Maybe it didn't come to her directly, but Adam had made it clear. So they knew. They knew, but up close, oh, when they, you know, just, you know, begin to consider it, then, oh my, they can see, well, it looks good for food. My, it's pleasant to the eyes. And oh my, well, you know, I want to be wise. So my, you know, it seemed very positive. And they took it. Oh yes, they were enticed, as it tells us here in James, the first chapter. You know, they could have stopped at that. Eve did not have to go forward and partake of it. But she let that temptation continue. And she did partake of it. That enticement, yes, drew her to that fruit. And so, as it tells us in verse 15 here in James 1, Then when lust hath conceived, oh yes, now she took of it. And so now, oh my, it was like it was conceived. And oh my, it tells us that it bringeth forth sin. That's exactly what happened in the garden. It brought forth sin. And the very sad end of sin, it tells us here in verse 15, when it is finished, its end product, it bringeth forth death. And this death, I believe, means eternal separation from God. I believe it means the lake of fire. But oh my, you see, that sin is not something that God desired his creation to partake of. It made all things good. And oh, it had been perfect. But sadly, they allowed the enticement to come forth and draw them away so that they partook of it. And lust, therefore, conceived and brought forth sin, and then led to that final end, that end being death. That's the sad part of it. But you know, we're so blessed because we live on the other side of Calvary. And that promise that God brought forth there in Genesis 3:15, praise the Lord, there was that day when the Savior came to this world. Oh yes, the eternal plan of God. That, oh yes, that moment would come when he would come into the world to take away sin so that there would be hope. Oh yes, so that we didn't have to be partakers in sin. We didn't have to live in that realm of sin. We didn't have to be condemned. No, Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from our sins. Amen. That was his plan. That was his purpose. To restore that which had been taken away in the garden. They had had fellowship with God. That was destroyed when sin came into the world. But praise the Lord, when the man, Jesus Christ, God robed in flesh, came into this world, he came to restore that fellowship so that we can know God. Oh yes, so we could have fellowship with him. Oh, so he could speak to our hearts. Oh, that we could be drawn to him, that we could walk with him in the spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Praise the Lord, there was hope when Jesus Christ came into this world. And praise the Lord, yes, he came to deliver from sin. That was his plan and that was his purpose. Praise the Lord. And thank God we have a privilege. Oh, we are blessed. Oh, yes, if we can come to that place where we are willing to acknowledge our sins, to turn away from them, to surrender our hearts to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's such a wonderful gift when we can come to Jesus in repentance and turn our lives over to him. Oh, yes. You know, not wanting to live in our sins. Oh, yes, giving it over, turning it over to God so that we don't have to be bound by sin. We can be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. And yes, beside that, oh yes, that wonderful privilege to go down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. That is a privilege. Yes, because then, oh yes, those sins are remitted in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord, and what a fulfillment in that. And besides that, we've been promised the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. And what a gift that is. Oh, that gift when, oh yes, he bestows his spirit upon us so that we can be filled with the spirit of the Almighty God, the same spirit that was in Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord so he can indwell in his people. Praise the Lord. We're so blessed to be on this side of Calvary. Praise the Lord. And yet, as we walk this earth, we know that there is a day that's coming. And it is a day of judgment that is forthcoming. And even so, yes, because we're still on this earth and the consequences of sin are still very much upon this world, this creation, upon mankind, we know that this earth is wearing out like an old garment. Oh, and we're seeing the consequences of it even now in this time that we live in. Oh, I think it's getting to be clearer and clearer as we walk this earth. What we've even seen in the very last years is so revealing that this earth is wearing out. Oh, yes. And that there is an end to this earth that the Lord God created. Amen. I'm turning to Isaiah chapter 24. Let's go there. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 24. Praise the Lord. Verse 1 tells us, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof." Now let's note this, that we are reading, these things are the Lord's doings. And just as when he created this earth in the beginning, oh, we know at the first when he created the heavens and the earth, that the earth was without form, it was void, it was darkness upon the face of the deep before the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. But oh my, just as he brought light into the world, and then he began to create, and oh yes, all the other steps of creation followed until he had a beautiful world that he had put together. There is this time when everything is going to be turned topsy-turvy again. Oh yes, in the Lord's doings. Oh, it's all a consequence of sin. So it tells us, yes, it's the Lord who maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Now we know already that the earth has already shifted from, you know, its former place there, the North Pole has shifted and is shifting, and you know, things have changed drastically in this world. And then, of course, all leading to that final day when the Lord comes and it's over. But let's just read as it is right now. It tells us in verse 2, "And it shall be as with the people, so with the priests. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him." In other words, you've got people on the same level. You know, I just have remarked this before, but you know, every time I read that, I think of a brother-in-law. He's now deceased, but anyway, years ago when we lived in Appleton, they lived in Appleton too, Dave and Donna, and anyway, we go see them sometimes, And poor Dave, he was always with a beer in his hand and, you know, very red in the face because of it and all. But I remember a comment that he made, you know, they were going to the Lutheran church and, you know, he made a comment that, you know, it was really neat that, you know, his minister would go drinking with him. He just, you know, thought that was the neatest thing, you know. In other words, you know, the minister was on the same level as he was in that sense. And here we're talking about, yes, you know, just everybody living the same sort of style, you know, just everybody indulging in sin and doing what seemed like, you know, was good to do in their own eyes. No difference. You know, the clergy not trying to be more respectable and, you know, living just a little bit better in that sense and, you know, staying away from indulgences that were known to be not so good. But no, just everybody the same. But oh my, see, this is all bringing forth a day when God will judge this earth. And it tells us in verse 3, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. And you know, when God speaks, when God declares, it's going to be so. Amen. That's how it was in the beginning when God spoke and said, let there be light. There was light. Amen. When God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters, it was so. Amen. When God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, it was so. Amen. Oh, God speaks and it happens. Amen. So God has spoken, yes, the land shall be utterly empty. That means completely emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. And then it talks about these end times. Oh, it says, the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. You know, to languish means to become weak or feeble, to lose strength or vitality, vigor, and that sort of thing. So it's talking about the end consequences of sin. The earth is mourning. Oh my, we can hear the groans at this point. We know already there's great pollution in this world. Oh, there's worries, concerns in this manner. Well, the sea has so much garbage in it that it's destroyed much of the creation that lives in the sea. So here we are at this point when the earth is mourning. It's ready to fade away. It's languishing. Oh, yes. It's become weak. It's become feeble. It's become polluted. And besides that, it's talking about the haughty people of the earth. They languish too. Oh, my. And then verse 5 tells us, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. So yes, we see consequences of sin here. The earth being defiled. To be defiled means to be made filthy or dirty, to be made polluted. Yes. And isn't that the way it is even at this moment? Oh, yes, we've seen great changes through the years. Soil that doesn't break forth like it once did. Need often for supplements because, yes, you know, we don't get the same vitality from the soil. No, it's fading, it's weakened, you know, it's not as potent as it once was. Oh, the air isn't, you know, as easy to breathe as it once was. Pollution is everywhere. And it's affecting mankind. It's affecting the creatures that live upon this earth. Things that are falling from the sky, so things that are dying, things that are bottling up in the oceans and causing death. But you see here, verse 5 tells us, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant, and how we've seen it. There are so many disgusting things upon this earth. Sometimes it's pretty unbearable to see and realize what has happened, even just these last few decades, even these last few years. Things that are allowed that never would have been allowed in earlier times. But because so many no longer know right from wrong, they've ignored the Word of God. They've changed it. They brought forth versions of Bibles that, you know, are according to man's thinking. It's really something, you know, when you can have a pile of Bibles and, you know, different versions and, you know, kind of pick the one that pleases your thinking. Oh my, no, we're living under sad conditions here because this earth has been so defiled under the inhabitants that live upon the face of this earth. And therefore it tells us in verse 6, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Oh, we're seeing, oh yes, the consequences of sin, that curse. It, you know, it started there in the Garden of Eden. Oh yes, with two individuals. But oh my, it's spread until it's been, you know, a way of life. In fact, we know that we're born into sin. This world, oh yes, you know, that's the sin nature that is upon human beings. But oh my, it's taken over. It's devoured the earth. Oh yes, so that they that dwell therein are desolate. Getting to that point where things are barren and lifeless. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. I believe this is all leading to this end time. Oh, yes, and the things that are yet in front of us here, as we've already seen, oh, it going in that direction. We've had to live through what they call the pandemic, this COVID-19 thing. We are presently seeing gas prices rising to such a point that, you know, it seems like there's no end. You know, when prices can go from $4.59 to $4.79 overnight, and even more so. Oh, yes, I'm sure it's over $5 in many places. Price of diesel even higher. There are a lot of concerns. We all depend upon gas, don't we? Getting here and getting there and having our food and our supplies brought to us by trucks. So here we are. And yes, now there are talks of food shortages. In fact, I was kind of stunned when I went into Aldi's grocery store a few days ago and saw that some of the shelves were pretty bare, and you know, when it came to that right side of their meat area, I saw one chicken. You know, otherwise it was empty. It was empty. It was almost no chicken in that whole store when I was in there. And I don't know. It seems like this could be something that is coming our way. And then lo and behold, you know, another great sign. Brother Tim and I were in the Milwaukee area, Brookfield, and lo and behold, we were kind of doing some exploring, and we actually came across a restaurant that was cashless. They had it on their window, they had it on their door, you know, letting everybody know that they weren't going to accept cash. They had gone cashless, and, you know, they were noting their so-called benefits. But here we are. This is the time that we're living in. We are seeing consequences of sin. And oh, one of these days, it's going to be finished. This allurement, you know, that is setting the world aflame, you know, as they walk in the ways of the devil. What he promotes, what he has put into their hearts. The ignoring of God's word, of God's ways, of that which is right and decent, scorning it, living according to their own dictates. Oh, it's pretty pathetic. I know Brother Samuel has spoken of this month, June, being called Gay Pride Month. And how pathetic it is that such a thing would be honored. Such a thing like that, that is so abominable in the sight of God. God is not winking at that. But these things are consequences of sin. And yes, oh, it's leading to that day when our Lord and Savior comes back to this earth. And oh, yes, these things that people, you know, are doing, thinking they're having a good old time, it's going to be put down. Oh yes, they're going to stand before God, as all of us are. There will be need to give an account of the things that we did in this life. And if we haven't given heed to the gospel call and turned our lives over to the living God, oh my, how sad it will be at that moment when we stand before him and there's that final reality. The consequence of sin, the curse that has devoured the earth and they that dwell therein. And, oh yes, therefore becoming desolate, empty, barren, unfruitful. Yes. And the inhabitants of the earth burned and few men left. Oh, I'll tell you what, God's judgment is already coming forth. Oh, in so many ways, he's showing himself. But oh my, it all is telling us, as the children of the Lord, that the day of the Lord is at hand. And he's coming soon, you know. Oh yes, the end is in sight. And so it is, we need to give heed while we can. You know, looking here at Isaiah chapter 26, the very end part of this chapter, it tells us here, verse 20 here, Isaiah chapter 26, it says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast." Verse 21 tells us, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." Oh yes, that 21st verse is talking about the judgment of God. Oh yes, as he comes out of his place. Oh yes, there in the heavens, Praise the Lord. Oh, the side of the north there, where God is, Mount Zion there, where the Lord Jesus is. That moment when it's over, when he comes forth to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, yes, it tells us that he's going to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, the consequences of sin. There's this moment when it's over. Oh, yes, he has seen it. That cup of God's wrath has overflown. And now it is that point when judgment will come forth like never before. Oh, yes, as God comes. Oh, yes, he comes forth to judge this world in his righteousness, by his standards, by his rules, by his requirements, not according to what man thinks, not according to what the philosophies of man declare, not what they teach in the schools. No, according to God's righteous judgment, he comes forth out of his place. He comes to judge this world in righteousness. And yes, that blood that has been shed, that innocent blood that they tried to cover up, that they tried to disclose, oh my, it's going to be exposed. It's going to be declared. It's going to be noticed. That cry is going to come forth. And no longer will they be able to hide and pretend and, oh yes, make an effort to look like they're righteous people. No, it's going to be revealed as it is. And those that are slain, that's not going to be covered up anymore either. It's all going to be out in the open. Oh, it's going to be clear. Oh, there's going to be no pretense at that moment. Jesus Christ came the first time to save us from our sins, to make a way of escape so we would not have to be condemned, so we would not be bound to the lake of fire. And if we despised his mercy and his grace, then there will be nothing but judgment to come forth. For the second time he's coming. Yes, he's coming to judge the world in his righteousness. And so it is. Oh, yes. That curse. That curse of sin. Oh, brought out. Exposed for what it is. Brought down. Oh, yes. Because it's going to be over. It's going to be over at that moment. Yes, you know. Oh, it goes on to describe the events that will take place in the 24th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Looking at verse 17, it tells us, "Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again." And it talks in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. And after many days they shall be visited." I believe this process has been going on, oh yes, since Calvary and even before. Yes, this gathering of the wicked, those high ones on high. Oh yes, in the pit there, shut up in the prison. And then after many days, it tells us they shall be visited. Oh yes, it tells us then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Oh, praise the Lord. It's all going to come to an end. The day of the Lord is at hand. And oh, yes, the day when the transgression will be heavy upon this earth. This earth, the sin that is upon it, that weight of sin, that very, very heavy weight of sin shall make it to fall. And it tells us it shall not rise again. Oh, we know the wages of sin is death. Thank God for the other part of that verse there from Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, we are so blessed to know that there is hope. Oh, yes, God's mercy, his grace, his compassions, that price that he paid on Calvary, that we might have hope, that we might turn over our lives to the Lord Jesus. What a moment that was when he there on the cross, and we know that he gave his life. He could have called legions of angels to save him from that hour. He didn't have to go, but he did, because there were people that he was redeeming. There was a church that he was bringing forth. Oh yes, oh, there were those that could be rescued from the plight of sin. Oh yes, there was great mercy that was shown at that moment. And praise the Lord, while he was on that cross, Jesus Christ was taking upon himself the weight of sin. He was taking our sins upon himself. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, he was making a way of escape, so that we could be delivered from this world, so we didn't have to be condemned to the lake of fire. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. He was making a door for his people so that we could enter in and know salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. While he was on that cross, making his soul an offering for sin, he saw his seed. He saw his children. He knew those that would come forth, that would obey the gospel and come forth, believe the good news, and turn their lives over to the living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, it tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, praise the Lord. That is what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was bearing our sins, our iniquities. Oh, he was giving us hope. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, there's a hope beyond this world. And yes, there's a freedom that came with that. The weight of sin is heavy upon mankind. But it's sin that weighs heavy upon the creation. It's sin that brings everything down. And thank God, Jesus Christ died so that we might have freedom from sin, that we didn't have to walk in it, that we didn't have to wallow in that mess and be bound to it. He made a way of escape so we could turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus and be forgiven our sins and our trespasses. Oh, what a hope we have in the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God for his great mercy in his great grace unto us. Praise the Lord. As I come to the close of this message, I'd like to go to Isaiah 25 and read of the great hope that we have. Oh, yes, that day is coming soon. We're seeing the consequences of sin more and more. We see how the earth is wearing out, how it's been so defiled, how it's been made so filthy and so dirty, so polluted. But here it is. We're coming close to that moment when our God shall come. And looking here at Isaiah 25, he talks about this moment. He comes to judge this world in righteousness. And of course, at the same time, he's going to redeem his people. Amen. It tells us in verse 7, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Oh my, the blindness that has led people astray, their ignorance, their unwillingness to turn their lives over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, at that moment when he comes, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, oh, the great I Am, oh, our Savior and our God, oh, the amazing one, he's going to destroy that blindness, that covering that was cast over all people, that veil that was spread across their faces so they couldn't see, so they couldn't understand, so they couldn't acknowledge Jesus Christ. But for his children, how beautiful. Tells us, oh yes, that hope that we have in him. Praise the Lord. Yes, as we are judged righteous because of him, because of his mercy, because of his grace, because that we came to him in repentance and obeyed the gospel. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 8, here in Isaiah 25, he will swallow up death and victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. Praise the Lord. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. See, it's one way or the other. That curse that came upon the world when sin entered into the world. Oh, how dreadful it is. How it changed everything. But praise the Lord for the way of escape that we've been given. So that, oh yes, our sins can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, so that when this moment comes, and all at once, that realization comes upon the face of all humanity, all that ever walked this earth, that Jesus Christ is returned to this world, not as a baby, lowly, in a manger. No, but this time in great majesty. Oh, a great triumph. Oh, yes, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, he comes, and oh, praise the Lord, he's going to swallow up death and victory. He's going to wipe away tears from off all faces. He's going to take away the rebuke of his people from off all the earth. Yes, the Lord has spoken it. And for those that have been redeemed, those that have turned their lives over to the Lord Jesus, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. It goes on to say in verse 10, for in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, And Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Oh, yes, like ashes under the feet. Oh, here it is, the day of the Lord. Oh, yes, and we see the consequences of that curse that has devoured the earth. Oh, my, and made it desolate. But praise the Lord that in the midst of everything that there is a hope that the Lord has given to those that will fear him and turn their lives to him. Oh, yes, believe in the gospel, turning, oh, yes, in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, what a hope we have, such a contrast to the other consequences. Oh, yes, oh, sin, yes, it will be put down. It will be brought down. It will be brought low. And all thank the Lord that God has made a way of escape. Oh, thank the Lord that we can acknowledge our sins and turn them over to the Lord. We can surrender our hearts, our wills, our emotions over to the Lord Jesus and be forgiven our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. In the midst of all of this, we have hope. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for his way of escape. But praise the Lord, yes. We can walk with him, have that fellowship with him, and know that one day soon he's going to come. And all the consequences of sin will be put down. All the pollution of this world, all the defilement, all the filthy living styles, oh, all the sins, all the abominations of this world will be put down. They will be cast off. They will be forever taken off this earth. And it will become a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise the Lord, that place that God has prepared for his people. You see, there are consequences to sin. Amen. And so important it is that we turn our lives over to the living God so that we can be forgiven our sins and our trespasses while we yet have time to do so. And praise the Lord, be in a place where we don't have to be affected by the final consequences of sin. Praise the Lord, that curse that has devoured the earth. Praise the Lord, we have hope beyond that because God has given us a hope and a way of life that, oh yes, brings us to a place where we can somehow and finally know the living God. Praise the Lord and have that hope of eternal life forever with our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that hope. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnals and turn to number 32. We're going to sing He's Coming Soon, number 32.
That's
God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.
Lord.